dismissed our kids for children's church at this time. They can head on out. Parents, you can help them to get situated if you'd like to. Let's bless our children. We love our children. Amen. Hallelujah. Please be seated. Grab your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Matthew chapter 11. It's great to see everyone, and really, I guess I should say a happy and a blessed new year to all of you. This is our first Sunday in the new year. We had the last Sunday, which was on the brink of the new year, but we say it again. And this morning, I believe and hope that I can bring a message, thank you, that will challenge us from God's Word as Jesus calls us to come to Him, or He calls us to come and go deeper with Him, which is really a call to be a committed disciple. You're going to hear a lot about that this year, because we really believe that that is God's purpose and desire for us, to get back to a focus on being disciples of Christ and then also making others disciples. And I believe that's paramount in what Jesus wants for us. It's what He wants for every congregation, every local congregation, indeed His whole church. And so I trust this message on the brink of 2018, or the first Sunday in 2018, will challenge us. Let me read for us from Matthew chapter 11. I want to read verses, beginning at verse 25, actually. Can I have you bring that up for me, Ken? Beginning at verse 25, I apologize for, there we go, thank you. Hear the word of the Lord. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Father, speak to us from your word. We pray and we ask that you give us listening ears and listening hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. As we look at this passage, let me give you just a little bit of context, because we have not been doing a series in Matthew, but just a little bit of context. The writer Matthew begins this section with Jesus speaking to John's disciples. You remember what happened. John is put in prison. John the Baptist is put in prison. And his disciples are perplexed at this. They don't understand why. And they also don't understand why Jesus isn't doing something about it. Isn't that kind of like us? Jesus, why aren't you doing something about this? Isn't that something that we say sometimes? You know, God, why don't you do something about this, God? That's another sermon. Then Jesus speaks to the crowd, the people that had heard John's message of repentance. John came preaching a message of repentance. John did not preach the gospel of the kingdom, but rather a preparation for gospel of the kingdom. And his preparation was a message to repent and prepare ourselves for the way of the Lord. But many people, unfortunately, that had heard his message would not repent. In fact, they rejected John and rejected his message. And then Jesus goes on to speak to those who had heard his message and seen his miracles, but still had not repented. And so Jesus says, "Woe to you, It will be better for cities such as Sodom and Gomorrah on the Day of Judgment, because many in those cities, when they heard the message, repented. But you, having heard the message, did not repent. And because you've heard this message, you will be held accountable. And then he goes on to speak to the people, knowing that the people are loaded down with heavy burdens. I want to pause there for just a moment. I want us to know and hear this from the Lord, that He knows that sometimes we are loaded down with heavy burdens. The Lord knows that life can sometimes be hard. He understands the things that we go through. And so He speaks to the people of Israel. These are God's people, God's chosen people, chosen to be in relationship with Him so that they can be a blessing to all the other peoples around them. And He says to them, I know that you are burdened and heavy laden. You have burdens and you are weary. And He says to them, you're loaded down. He's speaking to them in a sense because He knows of their background. He knows what they're going through. They're loaded down with legalism. They're loaded down with externalism. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, the teachers of the law, had just loaded them down with more and more rules. Jesus, at one point in Matthew 21, He says to them, He says, woe to you, teachers of the law, you hypocrites. He says, you load people up with a heavy burden, and you won't lift one finger to help them. So Jesus is speaking to people loaded with the legalism of the day, the externalism of the law. And then they are loaded down with their own weight of their own sins. They're loaded down with their failures. They're loaded down with frustrations from the oppression of life, the burdens of life. Sounds a lot like us sometimes, doesn't it? Not always. Sometimes things are going well, but you go through a little bit of life and things can get tough. Things can begin to load up on you. Life can be hard. Others can be hard on us. And we can be especially hard on ourselves. And in the midst of such weight, of such a load, we hear the gracious call of Jesus. And I hope that you will hear this morning. And this is really the main point of this message, that we must hear and respond to the call of Jesus. And His call to us is to come to Him. Come to Him. Take His yoke and learn. And when we do that, Jesus says, we receive His rest. We receive His rest. Let's talk about that a few minutes. In verse 25, Jesus makes a statement here, and I think that it sets the context for coming to Him. He says, Lord, I praise You. Father, I praise You because You have revealed these things to little children, not to the wise and learned in their own eyes, the ones that think they know everything, the ones that think that they've got it all together and they're going to be teachers of others. He says, oh no, Lord, You have revealed these things, the things of the kingdom, the things of the gospel. You've revealed them to little children. And so, as we hear this call, understand we have to come as little children. What does that mean? It means we come admitting our need, admitting our dependence, admitting our vulnerability, not as wise in our own eyes. We cannot come expecting God to give us something if we don't think we need anything. If we think we have it all together, then God is very, very willing to let us stay right there. But if we come as a little child, isn't it funny how children are? They tell you exactly what they need. Mom, Dad, I need this. I need that. Mom, Dad, I need to go to the bathroom. I mean, you could be having a conversation, you know, and right in the middle, Mom, Dad, I got to go to the bathroom. You know, they interrupt you and they tell you what they need. Children come and say, I'm hungry. When are we going to eat? Can I have something to eat? I mean, they're very forthright. There's also times when our children are needy, but they don't know how to share or what it is that they need to say. because they don't understand the feeling or the emotion that they're going through, or something has happened and they're trying to comprehend it, trying to figure it out. They're just like us. We're just like them. There's a lot of times that we come to the Lord, we know what we need. We know exactly what we need. But there's other times we come to the Lord, I just don't even know what I need. I don't even understand what's going on. You ever been there? I mean, you know, life can be perplexing. We try to do our best, we try hard, and then just things go south. Things pile up. Got a car story. Cars are just wonderful, aren't they? Just, cars are money pits. So, you know, a few weeks ago, actually Mark and Brittany have been having car trouble, and they called, they were on their way over across the bridge, and their car overheated over by the college. And they said, you know, can we switch cars? We want to go across the bridge to visit Mark's mom, who was in from Idaho. He said, sure. I said, I'll take a look at the car. So we switched cars. The next morning, Kenny calls me, and he's driving to head to work. He says, Dad, I'm on the Narrows Bridge, and my car is overheated. And I said, well, you know, stop there, and I'll come on over. And so his car is blown a head gasket, and it's going to have to be replaced. And so we get a little Mazda to replace it. And I don't know what we're going to do with the head gasket. I think I'm going to bring it over to Dean's and ask him to fix it. Threw that one at you, didn't I, Dean? And so right before the storm, literally, hours before the storm hits, Kenny's driving home, and he pulls up in the driveway, and he says, Dad, the driver window just fell down, and it won't go up. I'm like, this is just great. We got snow is coming in the next, like, hour. So I'm out there with bubble wrap. I'm trying to cover it over. My neighbor has pity on me, and he comes over with a small tarp, and he said, hey, you want to put this on there? And thankfully, the wind didn't blow the tarp off. There was a little bit of snow in the car, but we, you know, car troubles upon car troubles. Life can be like that sometimes. Now, some of you real religious types, you might say, well, Pastor, what kind of sin do you have in your life? And if you do that, I'm going to punch you right in the nose. No. Sometimes things happen and there's no correlation. There's no correlation. There may not be sin in your life. It's simply the fact that we live in a sin-fallen world, and yes, our cars are cursed, just like the earth. I think ours are more cursed than other people's. So we come as a little child, admitting. God says He resists the proud, but He gives grace. To the who? To the who? We come humbly to the Lord. We express our needs, and He meets us there. So the Lord is calling us to come to Him, to take His yoke and to learn. And as we do that, we receive His rest, His refreshing. We receive His grace in our lives. Let's talk about that a few minutes. First of all, let's define the terms. When we say this word yoke, to take His yoke, He's not talking about an omelet here. A lot of people say yoke, and oh, eggs. No. A yoke is a wooden harness. It was used in that day, and for centuries on from that day. We don't use it today. Today we use the John Deere tractor. But a yoke was a wooden harness used on an ox or a team of oxen by which they would be guided. The ox would be fitted with this wooden harness, and they would be guided with that harness. They also would pull the burden, the load of whatever it's pulling, whether it's a plow, whether it is a tree stump to pull it out of the ground, whatever. So that's the wooden harness, and he's talking about the yoke of an ox. So what does this mean? What does this mean for us today when Jesus says, take my yoke? Well, a yoke is something that guides and directs our life. So let me ask you a question. What is your yoke? What I mean by that is, what is guiding and directing your life? Is it Jesus? And if that's the case, then that is wonderful. praise God. Then continue on. Go deeper with Him. But is the yoke that is directing your life you? Are you the one that is directing and guiding your life? Are you the one that thinks you're in control of your life? Or is it a hurt, a habit, a hang-up? That's in the language of Celebrate Recovery. Hurts, habits, and hang-ups are those things that unfortunately become life-controlling issues in our life. In the Bible, they're called strongholds. And we make them, you know, much more sophisticated and palatable today, and we say a life-controlling issue. The Bible says they're strongholds. That's why Paul says don't even give the devil a foothold, an opportunity to allow something to become a stronghold. And those things sometimes will control your life. We've seen people that are controlled by substances. They're controlled by anger. They're controlled by guilt. They're controlled by chaos. You ever know somebody? It's always chaos. Everything has to be chaos in their life, and they want to tell you about it, and they want to draw you into it. What is it that's controlling, directing your life? I'm here today to challenge you and ask you, is the yoke of Jesus that which is controlling your life, directing your life, guiding your life? You see, something or someone is directing your life. You? Is it the big ego that's directing my life? And, you know, it's easy to say, and I know what we're saying here. We're sitting here saying, oh, we're very spiritual. Yes, yes, Jesus is directing my life. Yes. Is He? Is He directing my life? If that's the case, then there's some things that are going to happen here. Because He doesn't just say, just come and take my yoke. He says, come and learn of me. And you will find rest for your souls. And so the yoke that Jesus is talking about, here's the definition for Jesus' yoke. It's His claim and His call in my life to follow Him as Lord. It's His call and His claim on our life to follow Him as Lord. Let me give you a quote. This is from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. The command, the call of Jesus is hard. It's unutterably hard for those who try to resist it. But for those who willingly submit, the yoke is easy and the burden is light. See, when we try to resist the yoke of the Lord, it is hard. And we know the Lord works to make it difficult because He wants us to turn away from ourselves. You ever get tired of it? You're sick and tired of being sick and tired of it? We get to a place where we're just like, I just give up. I just can't do this anymore. Good. That's where God wants us to be. Because if we think that everything's great and I'm in control and, you know, I'm just doing everything and everything is going well because I've got it under control, I'm telling you, that is a place that God is going to work to bring you to a place of brokenness so that you see your dependency and you cry out to the Lord. So when we hear His call, by the way, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, for those of you who may not know who he was a minister during World War II. He was arrested and held and ultimately killed in a Nazi concentration camp. And so when he speaks about things being hard, he knows what he's talking about. He was constantly threatened to recant his faith, to turn away from Christ. And he was tortured because he would not recant. He would not turn away from his faith and forsake Jesus. And ultimately, he was killed for his faith. You might ask, well, why was a minister, a preacher of the gospel, you know, put into a concentration camp? Why did God allow that? Well, guess what? He preached to thousands of prisoners. Just like Paul, who went into prison and had a ministry during prison. So he was able to preach to thousands of prisoners. And ultimately, God allowed him to sacrifice his life for the call and the sake of the gospel. And so when we hear His call and we come to Him, And we must come to Him. It is not automatic. We receive His love, His mercy, His grace. This is what Jesus is talking about by receiving His rest. We receive His rest if we will come to Him and take His yoke. And He will then guide us. He will then direct us. Ultimately, He wants to use us to share the truth, the hope, and the love of the gospel with other people. That's His ultimate goal. To get us to get into the yoke of Christ so that then we can share that with others. You see, you're going to wear a yoke. The question is, whose yoke are you going to wear? Your yoke? Or the yoke of the world's problems? Or the yoke of a life-controlling substance, a life-controlling problem? Whose yoke are you going to wear? Jesus wants you to wear His yoke, and the outcome will be that you will be an effective disciple. There's a story of a farmer who had an older oxen. The older oxen had served him many, many years. And every day he would put that yoke on the oxen and we'd take him out to the field. And whether he was plowing or pulling up stumps or pulling up branches or trees, the old oxen knew exactly what to do because he'd been trained by the farmer. He knew the farmer's every desire as he pulled on the reins. Well, as the older oxen was getting older, the farmer decided to purchase a new, younger oxen that would be able to replace the older one. And when he got it, he had to get a double yoke. And the problem was, this young buck of an ox kept wanting to go this way, while the older ox knew they needed to go straight. And so it wasn't working to have them yoked together exactly like this. What he had to do was he had to adjust the yoke so that actually the older oxen was bearing and carrying most of the load and the direction where the younger ox was not, so that when he would try to pull, it would not pull the load, but rather it would be ineffective. And the older oxen was able to pull him along and gradually train him that we're not going that way, we're going this way. You see the picture? The Lord wants us to get into His yoke because in our hearts, and Roger talked about it last week, and Mike the week before, our hearts are desperately wicked in and of themselves. And we're always wanting to go that way. The way of the Lord is this way, it's the straight way. We're always wanting to go that way in ourselves, or that way. We always want to veer off. And the Lord always said to His people, don't turn to the right or to the left. Stay on course. Stay on the way, the straight way of the Lord. He wants us to put on His yoke so that He can yoke us and direct us and guide us in our life. Amen? Are you with me? Say amen. So Jesus offers to give us rest, and the rest comes because He's revealing the Father's heart, the Father's love. He says, I praise You, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, I praise You. He's in the midst of people that are rejecting Him. He's in the midst of people that will not repent. When John the Baptist is sent, they will not listen to him. They say, oh, John the Baptist, he's a crazy man out there in the desert eating locusts and honey. He's a crazy man. Jesus comes, He's showing them the teachings of the Lord, He's performing miracles. Oh, Jesus, He's a wine bibber. He's a drunkard, and He hangs out with sinners. He says, what is it that you want? There's a bit of frustration with the people. But in the middle of that, Jesus says, Father, I praise You. Lord of heaven and earth, I praise You, because You have revealed this to little ones, children. The ones that will hear, the ones that will admit their need, the ones that want what You have for them. You've revealed it to them. And He reveals the heart of the Father. He wants to reveal the plan that God has for us. God doesn't want you to be out there on your own. He doesn't want you to be directing your own life so that you end up falling in a pit. He wants to direct your life. He does want to guide you. And watch this. He wants to give you what is good in your life. A lot of people don't believe that. They don't think that about God. When they think of God, they think, oh, rules and regulations. God's just going to spoil my fun. He's going to cramp my life. He wants me to, He's going to send me over to Timbuktu to be a missionary? No, not necessarily. Now, if he puts that in your heart, you'll want to do that. But God gives us the desires of our heart. I was just reading this morning from Psalm 37. The beginning of the psalm, he's talking to people that are the Lord's, and he says to them, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord. Make the Lord first. Honor, glorify him. Follow him in your life. And guess what? He'll give you the desires of your heart. I can give personal testimony that is absolutely true. God will give you the desires of your heart. And here's the thing. He will change the desires of your heart. He will change them so that he can fulfill those good desires. So number one, as we break this down, when you hear his call, or you have to, in order to hear his call, you have to recognize that you're weary and burdened. You got to recognize it. You got to admit it. Now, I know most of you are much more spiritual than I am, and you're not weary and you're not burdened. Everything's just perfect with you, right? God will work to show us our need. God will work to show us that we are weary, exhausted, mentally, spiritually, when we try to do it on our own, when we try to be in our own yoke and go our own way. He will work that way. Again, as I mentioned, the Jewish people, they were exhausted. They were burdened with religion, the legalism, and they were weary with the weight of their own sin and the oppression of life. We know that the poor, as there's always the poor with us, we're increasing in number. It's the old adage, the rich got richer and the poor got poorer. Sounds kind of like our country. They were also burdened with the situations that they were in, which were not necessarily of their own control. We also can become burdened with religion. Whatever that may be, you fill in the blank of what is your religion. Our striving after God, our striving thinking that we have to please God, thinking that somehow he's displeased with us, and if I could just get my life together, if I could just get my act together, God will be pleased with me. I'm here to give you some good news. We sang it this morning that God is pleased with you in Christ. If you are in Christ, God is pleased with you. You are holy. You are lovely to him. It's kind of like parents with children. We know that children have their failures just like we do. But we love our children. And even when they're doing wrong, we still love them. That love never changes. And we think of them not in the failures, but we think of them in love. It's the same way with God, but here's the thing. By his grace and by the justification of Christ, by the perfection of Christ, he sees us complete in him. You might ask, well, how's that possible? Well, it's because everything begins in the mind of God. Everything begins in the mind of God. We know that in the beginning, he spoke the words and heavens and earth were created. So it is with you and me. He sees us in perfection and he is working to bring us into that perfection, to being conformed to the image of Christ, as Brother Roger preached on last week. He already sees you complete in Christ, and he's working to conform you to that image. So Jesus wants to give us rest in all of these things, in our religiosity, in our self-attempts. He wants to give us rest from that. But there's a cost, there's a condition. It's come to him and take his yoke. It's not that we have to earn it. It's not that we have to deserve it, because we know it's given freely. The condition is discipleship. Come to me. Learn of me. Take my yoke. Learn of me. Jesus said another way in John chapter 7, verse 37. He said it this way. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me. And if you're thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And I will give you living water. He's saying the same thing. He's just using a different analogy. So let me ask you a question this morning. Have you come to the place where you recognize your need and you want Jesus' rest? Are you weary? Are you burdened? Are you weary with yourself? Do you recognize that you have a need? And you need God, through Christ, to take control of your life. The need is for you to come and put on the yoke of Christ. You see, you and I must come to terms with ourselves. Now, maybe you've done this in the past, but maybe you slipped out of the yoke. Maybe you slipped the yoke off. You've gone in your own direction. You've done your own thing. Then the answer is easy. Repent and return to the Lord. He does not require a pound of flesh. He is not exacting. He doesn't require us to grovel. No, no. Hear the invitation of Jesus. Do you hear it this morning? Come to me. If you're weary and burdened, come to me. But you have to admit it. So, if you're continuing to follow Jesus as best you can with His yoke, praise God. Then enjoy His rest. Enjoy His salvation. And let Him lead you to others that need to hear this message. That's why He has called you to Himself, so that you and I can share this message with other people. I don't know about you, but as I interact with people all over the place, you know me, I don't stay in one place too long. I'm moving, grooving, and moving out and about. And as you interact with people, they are weary and burdened. Someone texted me the other morning. They said, "My workplace, the heat in my workplace is not working. And the store management doesn't want to spend money on the heater, which was broken." And so when they went into their store that morning, it was 35 degrees in the store. And they opened with the store like that. And they went through the entire day with no heat, with it being, you know, that cold. How would you like to work in that all day long? Now, I know some of you work outside, and it's very cold outside. But they weren't prepared coming to work in the morning. They didn't bring their parka, you know, for 35-degree weather inside. Life can be hard. I hear people all the time. They can't make their bills. Emergencies hit them, and there's not enough month left at the end of the money. Y'all still with me? I want to make sure you're not falling asleep. I know it's getting a little warm in here, but we're pushing on to base number 3. So recognize that I'm weary and burdened. Hear His call. Hear His invitation and come to Him. Number 2, part of the requirement is that I take His yoke. I trade my yoke for His yoke. And Jesus says, "My burden is easy, my yoke is easy and light." It's interesting. He goes on to say, "Learn of me." It doesn't stop at coming to Christ and taking His yoke. He says, "Learn of me." This is a very interesting word. The word "learn" is the verb form of the noun "disciple." Because a disciple is a learner. And this word, "learn," is simply an extension of the noun "disciple." So what he's saying is, learn of me. Continue to be a disciple of me. Continue to go deeper in me. You don't just come to Jesus and stop there. You don't come to Him and take His yoke and just say, "Oh, I'm going to live my life the way I want to." No, no. We live in the yoke of Christ. So the idea, the key idea here is learning through practice. Learning through discipline. Ooh, that's that word we don't like. Discipline. The implication is that I continue on as a follower or disciple of Jesus. Not just come to Him and then live my own life. No. Have you come to Him? Are you listening and learning and seeking to grow as a disciple? As Roger shared that word last week, it was just a great word because it made it clear that God does this in you and me. Yes. We have to cooperate, but He does it. For it is He who is pleased to do His will in us. He works in us His good, pleasing, and perfect will. He does it in us. But we have to cooperate. We have to cooperate. Have you come to Him? You see, Jesus, He just said, "I have been given the authority to reveal you, Father." He has the authority to reveal the Father's love and to call us to Himself. No coming to Jesus, no rest. There's a bumper sticker that's out. It says, no Jesus, no rest. No Jesus, N-O, no rest. If you know Jesus, there will be rest in your life. You see, He is the one who calls us to this rest because His burden is light. There's great satisfaction. Let me just share this, because sometimes we think of the Christian life as a burden. And it is not a burden. If you think of the Christian life as a burden, then you are understanding the relationship with Jesus wrong. Yes, there is a yoke, by all means. But His burden is light. Jesus says it. My burden is light. My yoke is easy. Does He not say that? You see, there's great satisfaction, there's great security in the grace of God given in Christ. I rest in His grace. His grace tells me that I am free, I am forgiven, I'm free of condemnation, I'm free of accusation, even when other Christians are trying to load it on me. I'm free. And I rest in His grace. The Father says, don't worry about the things of your life that you have no control over. Why worry about them? The Father knows you need these things, and He will supply your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. There's great satisfaction. I'm free from striving. I'm free from driving expectation. For I am pleasing in Christ. I am free now to be who God has called me to be. You ever deal with the expectations of others? Maybe parents or siblings or people above you that have these, they put these expectations on you and you feel the weight, you feel the pressure. Listen, God has an expectation of us, but He wants you to be what He wants you to be in the sense of being free in Christ so that I discover who I am. Who I am. I was talking to somebody on the phone the other day and they said, you know, Pastor, I'm just so frustrated because I don't even know who I am anymore. I said, that's strange because the Lord tells us who we are. First of all, we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. He's the one that leads us and guides us. He saved us. I said, I don't understand why you don't understand who you are. Why are you striving? And through conversation, he's able to understand that it is not, God doesn't want striving in our life. He wants simply to rest in His finished work and in His grace. And then we understand He wants the best for our lives. Taste and see that the Lord is good. That's Psalm 34:8. Again, from Psalm 37 to Psalm 34, taste and see that the Lord is good. It's good news. Peter picks up upon this verse and says, taste now that the Lord is good and continue in your faith. Again, it doesn't mean there won't be difficulty. So he says on to learn from Him, and He is gentle and humble in heart. Let's stop there for a second. Jesus is gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. I want us to catch this point. Jesus is not harsh. He's not a slave driver. He's not a taskmaster. If you are feeling pressure like that, you're putting it on yourself. Or you're letting others put it on you. Jesus is not like that. He is gentle and humble in heart. So we have to be that to ourselves and also with others. Other Christians. So, you know, sometimes we kind of have this high expectation and we put that on other people, other Christians. Well, you should be just like me. Well, why would I want to do that? Because I'm not doing so hot. No. Let's have the freedom that Christ has given us, realizing our own, having a right account of ourselves, that I fail, and Jesus is very gentle with me. He's very humble with me. So let us not be harsh with one another, especially when we fail. As Christians, sometimes we are guilty of grinding the boot on people that fail, rather than coming to them with humbleness and gentleness and saying, hey, I understand, man. I understand, sister. I understand, brother. But come on back. Come on. Let's get back in the battle together. Let's fight this fight. I'm with you. I got your back. Sometimes we grind on people. Jesus is not like that. He does not grind on us. No. He is gentle and humble in heart. I want you to think with me about the people that Jesus is dealing with here and others that he dealt with this ministry. Do you not understand that he could have been very harsh with them? The ones that would not repent, the ones that were stubborn, man, he could have spoke the word and made them disappear. Half of us gone, just like that. He spoke the word. He gave a little indication of this. Do you remember in the garden? Matthew's the only gospel that records this. The soldiers are coming near him. And Jesus stands up from prayer. And he asks him the question, who have you come for? And they say, Jesus of Nazareth. And he says, I am he. And they all fall down. The soldiers draw back and they fall down. He wanted them to know is, you're not taking me. I'm giving myself freely to your charge. He can speak a word, and his commanding word can make it happen. But he's not like that with us. He's gentle and humble in heart. Why would he say this if he is not so? He is gentle and humble in heart. He's not harsh. He's not hard. So let us be that way with ourselves. Let us understand as we come and take on the yoke of Christ and continue in the yoke of Christ that he is not harsh. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Finally, taking his yoke means I follow his lead in my life. And he sends me to people that I may share with them. I follow that lead. And he leads me to people. I know that we haven't really had, organized programs of evangelism. I got to be honest with you. I'm not a real big fan of that. I've been through evangelism training. I've been through EE. I've gone door to door. I've gone to supposed appointments with people. And sometimes God does give you divine appointments, and that's great. But what I find is, if you will follow the leading of God through the Holy Spirit, He will lead you to people that you are to share the gospel with, that you are to share your testimony, your story with. And it's amazing how people open up and talk to you, isn't it? We were talking about that the other day. You know, people that you work with, or maybe even somebody, you know, you bump into them at Safeway or Food Lion, and you strike up a conversation, and they just start talking to you. And if you're open, they'll be open. Now, if you're closed, if you keep yourself closed, like, I don't have time to talk to you. I don't have any interest in talking with you. Stay out of my box. This is my box here. Stay out of my box. Now, if you have that up, then people aren't going to talk to you. But if you're looking with the eyes of the Spirit, you're saying, Lord, yeah, I came down to get milk and eggs, but maybe there's somebody here that I would bump into and talk to. I know Brenda gets frustrated with me because I go down the Food Line and, you know, I'm picking up two or three things and I'm not, you know, I'm gone for an hour. It's because I bump into you. I bump into a lot of you in the grocery store. And then I bump into other people that I know in the community. And I stop and I ask, hey, how you doing? What's going on in your life? Sometimes I have to take the ice cream, put it back in the freezer because it's half melted. Now, I like it melted, and I'll eat half the container. If you bring it home melty, I'll eat it. Brenda can't stand it all melty. But I'll talk to people and say, what's going on in your life? I ran into somebody the other day, and I said, they used to go to church, not here, but somewhere else. I said, how are things going at your church? What have you been doing? You know, what's happening? Oh, I haven't been there a long, long time. And, there's just some stuff that happened, and, you know, you hear, there goes the story. And I said to them, I said, listen, don't mistake Jesus for people. Don't mistake people for people. I know it's 11:30. Don't mistake people for Jesus. Jesus is not like people. People will hurt you. People will disappoint you. People, I've done it. I've failed you at times. I've disappointed you at times. Jesus is not like me. I strive to represent him rightly, but he's not like me. And so, follow his lead. Hear the voice of the Spirit. This is what he wants for us, folks. Beloved, this is what he wants. He wants us to thrust us out of these four walls to share the love and the hope of Christ. You can say to people, Maybe use it this week. Hey, you know what? Jesus has some rest for you this week. And you'll be like, what? What are you talking about? He'll give you an opportunity. Now, if they say, get away from me, you weirdo, then you can say, okay. But if they say, what? What do you mean by that? Tell them your story. Tell them your story. How God has given you rest through Jesus. He has given you His rest. Now, if He hasn't given you rest because you've not come to Him, this morning's the morning then. To come to Him. To come to Him. Amen? I'm going to ask my elders and some of my deaconesses to come on up front here as Jeff and the worship team come, and we're going to sing that song again. Oh, come to the altar. What a beautiful, fitting song. I asked Jeff to play it this morning. Let's all stand and we're going to sing this. I asked my elders and deaconesses to come. And if you need to come to Jesus, if you need to lay it down and put His yoke on, then come. Come. Or maybe you have taken the yoke off and need to put the yoke back on. Then you come. You come. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, You have been speaking through Your Word. Jesus, You are calling to each one of us, calling us to go deeper or calling us to come to You. Lord, work by Your Spirit. The ones that need to come. The ones that need to come. Draw them, Lord. Give them the courage where this is an easy place to come. So that when the hard places come, we're able to stand. Lord, do Your work by Your Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord.